Dr. Brian Russell joins us, Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. He is the co-host of Fatal Vows on Investigation Discovery. It also says here, psychologist, lawyer. Dr. Brian, does the term shrink, does that appeal to you in any way?
That is fine with me.
Really?
Yeah, that kind of threw us off.
I'm shocked.
I'm a man of the people. I think anybody who prides themselves on using big clinical words and talking over the heads of people they're trying to help is not really trying to help anybody other than themselves.
See, I always thought that was a pejorative, that I probably would get off on the wrong foot if I called someone a shrink.
For some, not for me.
All right, well, you rule. DrBrianRussell.com is the website. The book is Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. Why did you write this book?
Because I'm increasingly worried about how our cultural pendulum seems to be swinging away from the personal responsibility that made this the greatest, freest, most prosperous nation in history, and toward entitlement, which I think is hurting us on many levels as individuals, families, organizations, communities, and ultimately as the nation.
Am I wrong for leaning toward millennials in this discussion? Is it all Americans?
Well, certainly many of the things that I talk about in the book, you could point to lots of examples reflected in millennials, but it's important also to keep in mind that the millennials came from somebody. Somebody raised those millennials. And at some point, parents in this country broke from the tradition that I think up through the greatest generation, probably pretty consistently you could see, of raising kids with a lot of structure and a lot of discipline. And it was actually a very loving thing to do because it helped people become good, self-efficacious Americans. Self-efficacy meaning you can do for yourself. And somewhere along the line, and I think it's probably around the baby boom generation, we decided instead to prioritize self-esteem and to dial back the structure, dial back the discipline, be more friends with your kids and less parents, less parenting, more friendship. And that has not worked well.
Okay, and now, Dr. Russell, you said that this started in the baby boomer generation, correct?
I think around, okay. I mean, with certain, you know, all these are averages. Certainly you could find glaring exceptions in all of these.
Right. And I'm not asking because I want to hold you to a number, but I find that interesting because Mike and I talk about millennials a lot on our show. And I actually am a millennial backer. I have a lot of millennial friends. I'm 41 years old, but I hang with millennials. It's odd. It's a long story. But I do. I hang with millennials. They're my peeps.
Yeah,
but
they understand you. You understand them.
Right. Now, I think part of it is I'm not married. I don't have kids. So we are all kind of maybe in that same mode. But at the same time, it's interesting that you made the mention that you felt that there was this shift back at the baby boomer generation in terms of parenting, because while as many people want to hammer on millennials, I've always had this thing in my head of that previous baby boomer generation where I thought, man, that's really to me the generation that drives me nuts. Like back in the day when it was like sex, drugs, and rock and roll and free love. Like they created this society or this lifestyle so they could get, you know, it was before that was something that you're very careful about. You didn't over imbibe. And then they created this culture where it was about imbibe as much as possible. And then once the free love went away, they became the corporate raiders. And I always kind of felt like, it's interesting that I feel like the millennials get hammered on so much because in terms of the me generation, I've always attached that to the boomers. Now, maybe I'm just an angry Gen Xer.
Is he right?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. I think that the baby boom generation was parented with that greatest generation, by that greatest generation, with that structure and discipline that I talked about, right? So then you see them doing the kinds of things that you talked about in the 60s and 70s, but then sort of outgrowing it and going on to be, financially speaking at least, a pretty successful generation. And then you see the kids that they raise, not so much, not as much, and you say, well, what was the difference? And I think it really was the absence of the structure and discipline from the baby boomers' parenting strategy. So part of those behaviors that you were talking about that they didn't outgrow was this idea that, you know, you don't need to be as confined as our parents made us. You don't need as much pressure as our parents put on us. We're not going to pressure our kids. They can be what they want to be. We're going to be their friends. And that just has not equipped their kids with that same resilience that they were equipped with, to where even when they screwed up some in the 60s and 70s, they were still able to recover and live pretty personally responsible, successful lives after that.
It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN with Dr. Brian Russell. Dr. Brian, how do I get my teenager and my other three kids, I have four kids, how do I get them to own instead of moan, as you put it?
Well, hopefully you have been doing some things before now, because lots of the fundamental lessons about owning and not moaning are actually learned in the single-digit years. Basic things in life, like you don't lie, you don't feel, you don't hit people who aren't hitting you, you make a mess, you clean it up. So hopefully you did some of those things early on. And so now what you're seeing is sort of the natural tendency of teenagers to want to sort of test limits. And that's not all bad, because ultimately they're going to leave your house and they're going to have no limits imposed by you. Mm-hmm. Society imposes some, right?
Wait, so you said my kids will leave my house at some point?
They're going to leave your house at some point. Hopefully, if you're doing it right, if they're staying into their 20s and 30s, you've really gone to taking a left turn.
Well, and that sounds like that's what happens nowadays, where the boomerang kids come back and they just kind of hang. So I'm concerned.
Yeah, that is a big mistake of the parents who are allowing that to happen. They're basically enabling the kids not to grow up. And part of it is their guilt about the fact that they know deep down they didn't equip the kids with what they needed to go out and be successful. And be that as it may, the solution is not to continue coddling and enabling on into the 20s and 30s. At some point, those kids need to sink or swim, and they actually would be better served. It actually is more compassionate to let that happen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not their friend, so I think I've laid the groundwork that you're describing.
Now, Dr.
Russell, and as they test the limits, what you want to see is, in my book, there's a graphic of it called the power responsibility continuum, right? And you want to see them assuming more power over their lives as they show you that they're taking responsibility.
Can you hang for a couple of more minutes, Doc?
Sure.
All right. We got a killer shrink lawyer and TV star, really. Dr. Brian Russell is on with Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. More on this topic of entitlement next. Jones and Mike on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. On with Dr. Brian Russell. The book is called Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It.
Dr. Russell, I have a question for you. Mike and I are longtime friends, known each other almost our whole lives. So I know his family well, close to his four kids. I observe his parenting.
Godfather to one of them.
I'm godfather to his oldest boy, yes. So I have observed him up close and personal being a father. I know his style. And I have to say, very much, he is a disciplinarian. There rules are rules in his house. If the kid has a cell phone and it's not on the little charger by 7:30 at night, they lose the privileges for 24 hours. He holds the line. And at the same time, I've seen him out there coaching his kids. He's making sure all the kids are having fun. I think he does a fantastic job.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that.
Now, I do have to say, the one thing that does drive me nuts, though, and I'd love to have your feedback on this, because it comes down to rules are rules, but it's also an element of monkey see, monkey do that I've always observed with him. Mike has never been the most mature guy. And he never misses an opportunity to moon me, fart jokes all day. Uh-huh. Now, when it comes to raising kids, you can't quite be that way. Though I have to say, at the same time, with his oldest, I do see him at times carrying that type of behavior in front of her. And though he and his oldest can clash, and he may disagree with me on that, she adores and idolizes him. So I feel that she's going to go forward and mirror this behavior, and I feel it's almost unfair to her.
Yeah, so essentially, are you saying, you know, hey, can we still say, do as I say, not as I do?
Well, I think a lot of our parents did that in various ways, and I think that, yes, you can turn out just fine if the basic structure and discipline are there. And it sounds like in this case that you've described, they are. It sounds like, you know, the sense of humor kinds of things that you're talking about, the slapstick, whatever you call it, behavior, if that gets inculcated into the child and some of that comes out in the child in adulthood, I'm not worried about that undermining the child's opportunities to be a successful, productive American in all sorts of ways. What would worry me is if I saw those things undermining the respect that the child has for the parents, and so then the child not having that structure and discipline from the parent because the respect that's required isn't there for that relationship to be there. And it doesn't sound like it's to that degree here, right?
Yeah, Doc, am I sending mixed messages, Jones?
Doctor, I wanted you to be so much tougher on him.
You're coddling
me. This is really
me,
a letdown. I know I didn't give you the cliff notes of where I wanted you to go with this. I really wanted you to hammer him.
Yeah, this is an intervention. You're the last
one
to know.
Then my answer is he's ruining the child. She's gonna grow up to be. She's going to jail.
Yes.
Oh no. All right, so this time of year, I love having you on now because this time of year, I get really crazy about the excesses of our culture, of our lives, and your concepts towards, you know, teaching and instilling gratitude. I'm interested in how do I get my children to live a more grateful life, Doc?
Well, first of all, this is a great point that you're making, and this actually, you know, Black Friday is a great day to be making it because for many, many years now in the United States of America, thank God, we've had a lot of prosperity here. And most people living here have had all their needs met and then quite a bit, many of their wants as well. And I call that access to excess. When you have access for a long time to more than you need, it starts to feel less like a blessing and more just like how it is, right? Okay, and so the solution to that, the antidote to that is exactly what you're saying, and it's exactly what I write about in the book. It's gratitude. You got to get your priorities straight. You got to count your blessings. Be conscious all the time of how you are blessed, and it's not an entitlement when you've got more than you need. Give thanks. Actually express it. Tell people who've gone above and beyond to help you out in life and done more for you than you were entitled to have them do, how much you appreciate it. And then pay that forward. Be generous yourself. There's nothing like generosity. Anytime somebody comes and tells me they're feeling depressed at the holidays, there's not enough of this, not enough of that, and it doesn't matter if it's relationship attention or material things or whatever, I encourage them to get out there and do something. Go serve a holiday meal at a homeless shelter. Do something for others, and you will find yourself feeling better, usually.
Yeah, I got to get them volunteering. I like that. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. I'm with Dr. Brian Russell. The book is called Stop Moaning and Start Owning. Do you have like three actionable like kind of tips that you can give me to get my kids to start owning?
Well, I would say that you, in the book, look at that power-responsibility continuum. That's good because then you can think about where are you now and where do you need to get by the time they're 18 and what can you do to sort of move the kids along that continuum. That's one. There's a test in the back of the book for how personally responsible people are, and it's depending on how old your kids are. That's something that they might be able to do. I say the book is around the 16-year-olds and up level. So, you know, I would say read it yourself and make sure you concur. And then if you do, when your kids are 16 or up, have them read it too and use it as a way to start a conversation with them about how important personal responsibility is in all spheres of life, from academics to their professional lives to the relationships they're going to have to just their basic citizenship, their participation in the society.
What's harder, being a lawyer or being a being a shrink?
They're both hard, but they're both very rewarding. I don't know that one is. I would insult one group or the other if I say one is.
If you had to give one of them up, which one would you give up?
I would probably say for me, I have enjoyed the psychology piece more. But having just said that, a lot of the psychology work that I have done has been around, you know, how do we understand behavior so that we can make better public policy? Or how do we understand behavior so that we can figure out how to reduce crime better? What kind of sentencing should we be doing? Those sorts of things. So if I didn't have the legal background, I wouldn't have gotten to do some of the most interesting parts of psychology that I've gotten to do.
God, you're good. You still said both are your favorite.
Yeah.
You just outwitted me.
Well,
I thought I had you.
He's a barrister, Jones.
He is. He's a top juror, grade A barrister.
He has a silver tongue, Jones.
Now, Dr. Russell, I am curious what your thoughts in terms of, you know, we've been talking about how we're dealing with kids, and what I know could fill a thimble. I don't have any. But in terms of setting rules, holding the line, I'm curious what your thoughts are. As I'm observing parents, I see this has got to be the most documented generation ever. Pictures, videos. As soon as some kid does something, they make a cookie, whatever, it goes right on Facebook. Does this kind of give an overgrown idea of a child's importance, that everything is documented? I've observed this even with small children now. They get a gift, they have some accomplishment, some trophy, and right away now they're turning to the parent going, Mom, do you want a picture? They know how to pose, everything. It's bizarre to me.
Yes. Yeah, there's actually a term for it. They're calling it sharenting, where the parents can't wait to get on social media and share their kid's accomplishments. And it's annoying the heck out of many of us who sit there and see those pictures and go, you know what? Everybody's kid's done that. This is not that big of a deal. And the schools are actually just playing right into it when they're giving a trophy to everybody, whether they won or lost. They're canceling honors ceremonies so that we don't hurt the feelings of somebody who didn't get honors. Those are the absolute wrong things to be doing, because it does exactly what you said. It gives the kid an inflated sense of self-importance. And I always, I write about this in the book, I always distinguish between self-esteem and self-respect. We want every kid to respect themselves unconditionally. But do we really want kids running around esteeming themselves unconditionally, regardless of their behavior and accomplishments? No, we really don't. We overshot that. We meant to go for self-respect, and we went for self-esteem, and that was wrong. And I always say about social media, if narcissists were alive today, the namesake of narcissism, which is the root of entitlement, social media would be the reflecting pool.
Yeah, that's why I use social media almost exclusively to publicly shame my children.
Yes, we need to shame these tyrants, I think is the message. Isn't that the takeaway?
Speaking of which, Facebook.com/Dr. Brian Russell, at Dr. Brian Russell on Twitter. You're not ashamed to be on social media, Doc.
I am not ashamed to be, but what you'll find if you go there is that it is virtually all about my work and trying to help people understand the things we're talking about tonight, the news, the ways in which a better understanding of how people work can help you have a better understanding of how we should parent, how we should run our workplaces, and how we should run the country.
Did Bill O'Reilly call you a pinhead by any chance?
Not this time. When we discussed the book last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, no, not in that case. I'm sure somewhere in the dozens of times I've been on there, though, he has.
He squeezed it in on you.
Well, you're not a pinhead. Doc, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Dr. Brian Russell, the book is Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. Have a wonderful holiday season, Doc.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. All right, it's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN.